This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to part two of our virtual lecture series by Dr. Haifa Yunus, hosted by the Sisters Committee of AMI, American Muslim Institute, and the Omaha Muslim Women Committee, based in Omaha, Nebraska. Today, Dr. Haifa Yunus will be discussing the role of women in modern society in the light of Islam. Dr. Haifa will be taking questions at the end of the lecture. Please post your questions in the comment section. This lecture is being broadcasted across various platforms. Please keep questions relevant to the topic at hand. And to introduce our invited speaker, a student of Dr. Haifa, Sister Hina Qureshi.
Assalamu alaikum. It is an honor and my pleasure to introduce our invited speaker, Dr. Haifa Yunus. Dr. Haifa is an American board certified obstetrician and gynecologist with roots from Iraq. She currently practices in St. Louis, Missouri. She is a graduate of Mecca Institute of Islamic Studies and Al-Huda Quran Memorization School in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, where she completed her memorization of the Quran. After graduation, she moved back to St. Louis, where she practices her profession. She is also the founder and chairwoman of Jannah Institute and currently teaches seminars on the thematic commentary of various chapters of the Holy Quran and their practical relevance in our day-to-day living. Additionally, she offers retreats on key topics that inspire hearts. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Haifa last year and be in some of her gatherings with beautiful sisters in St. Louis. Dr. Haifa truly speaks from her heart, and she has a special gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move the hearts by her sincerity and dedication in everything she teaches. One of the biggest takeaways from my experience in her classes is that she brings the knowledge of Quran to life, and she will break it down to practical steps that you and I can take in our everyday life to improve ourselves and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creation. May Allah bless and protect our female scholars like Dr. Haifa Yunus and give us the opportunity to learn and improve ourselves in the path of getting closer to Allah. Amen. Without further ado, I would like to welcome Dr. Haifa Yunus to speak to us about women in modern society in the light of Islam.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي جزاكم الله خير. It's a beautiful to be again with you. جزاكم الله خير. The woman of the American Muslim Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, and everybody who is involved in this program. It's a pleasure. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Somebody was asking me yesterday, actually, do you miss traveling? And I'm going to be very honest. I said, I do and I don't. Because I used to live a lot. I used to joke with my family and my friends. And I was like, I live on the plane more than I live on earth. Because I used to travel and give all these talks. So, and subhanAllah, since the COVID started, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, Allah opened another venue for us to learn, which I am finding it actually is easier for the sisters especially. However, that's the question came. Do you miss meeting sisters? And that question actually made me think. And now when Sister Hina was discussing how we met, and the answer now is definitely yes. Because when you travel, you get to meet a lot of people, subhanAllah, a lot of sisters, especially when you give talks. And it's amazing. They say, we learn from you. I respond and I say, I learn from you too. Women in Islam, women in modern life, woman as a professional, woman as a professional person, woman as a mother, woman as a daughter, woman as a sister, woman as a neighbor, woman as a daughter. There is many hats we women, sometimes by choice and most of the time without choice, we have to carry or we have to wear. And this very common question always comes in. And I would have, I should have said, and alhamdulillah, Allah made me remember, the first thing is the woman is actually a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first role, is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then she is for sure a daughter. Then most probably she is a wife. Most probably she is a mother. Not everyone, but most probably professional. And I call the professional outside the house or a professional inside the house. And I'm not talking about working from home. I'm talking about being a mother. It's a huge profession. So the common question I get, and here I am asking everyone who are listening to me, put your questions. I would love to have this session as question and answers, things in your mind. So I gave you an idea, where is the dilemma? Where is the issue? And basically is, and I always think of the most influential woman in education, in Islamic history, is actually as Sayyida Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. And she had three hats, right? The only hat that she didn't have from what most of the women does, she was not a mother. She, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for a hikmah, for a wisdom, that he does not give her children. Her name was, her kunya or her nickname was Ummu Abdullah, or basically because her nephew is Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He's the daughter of her sister Asma. So if you look at the Sayyida Aisha, and this is how I want everyone, when we start tackling this subject, where do I find the time? How can I be in 24 hours and perfect in every of this? Where do I start? So I was just reading a question, but let me finish the point of Sayyida Aisha and I'll come to it, inshallah. So Sayyida Aisha was the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And she was a very smart woman and very strong personality. Very strong personality. I highly recommend each woman listening to me today. I want you to go and read the commentary on Hadithatul Ifk, or what they call it, which is the incident of accusing her, which is in Suratul Nur, in chapter Light in the Quran. And the commentary on it is actually the Hadith, the saying she narrated about herself, about the whole story. The point I'm trying to make is when you read this, you find out how strong this woman was. However, she was also the Abida. She was the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's how Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned or described her, is the virtue of Aisha over all the other women, is like the virtue, and he gave an example of food, because that's something we see every day, is like the most, the at that time for the Arabs, is when you bring meat and you put with it bread and you put it with like some kind of a sauce. This is like the highest, like now these days we say, whatever, it depends where you live, every country has. But the point he was trying to make, that her virtue over all the other women is like the virtue of this food over the rest of the food. The point, she was a mother? No, but she was a auntie. She was the wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. She was a leader. And most importantly, she was a scholar, the scholar. If when any time you talk about a scholar of Islam, the first name comes to you, anywhere you read Muslim literatures, Islamic literatures, non-Islamic, the name of Aisha. And Al-Hakim, in his Mustadrak, he said, quarter of the rulings of a Sharia came through Sayyida Aisha. One quarter of the rulings, fiqh rulings, was narrated or came to us through Sayyida Aisha. So here you go. You come to Sayyida Khadija, and you find the wife, the businesswoman, the mother. The mother. All the children of Rasul ﷺ, except one, was delivered by Sayyida Khadija. She was a businesswoman. That's actually how they came to know each other. And she was the wife of Rasul ﷺ. And before all, she was the servant of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send greetings to her through Sayyidina Jibreel. Ya Khadija, inna Allah yuqra'iki as-salam. Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, Allah is sending you greeting. And you go on and on and on and on. And I don't want to go into the details of the wives of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and the women around the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah, next month we have our course all dedicated for that. 1 hour a week on a Saturday is dedicated to the pearls around the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first thing I will say to every woman who is listening to me today, put this title, this is statement, say it to yourself. Because anytime we believe we can do something and we ask Allah to make it easy, it happens. So I mean all of us. When we look at this dilemma in life, or as the other word we use, the balance, and we find this difficult, overwhelming, impossible, first thing I'm going to tell myself, to change my mindset. If someone else can do it, I can do it. And this is actually one of the reasons that actually is the reason number one, was for me to memorize the Quran. I looked at my friend and she was a physician also, and a mother, and she memorized it. And I said, well, why can't she do it and I cannot? So that's number one, change your mindset. I can do it. I'm sure you're going to look at me and says, yeah, saying there's nothing cheaper than words. It's very easy to say it. Come to my life and see my home and see how can I do all this. Number two, and I'm going to give you very practical, because alhamdulillah, there is questions coming and I want to address them. Number two, priority. This is, I can't emphasize this. Priority, and number three is efficiency. These two, priority and efficiency, I put them separate. What do I mean by priority? Priority is the following. And I can share it from my life and everybody will feel it. So when I was in residency, doing OBGYN residency, right? Where basically we did between 120 to 140 hours per week, right? That's where at that time of my life where Allah put me. What does He want from me in that time? How much left? He wants from me the obligations. So if I am doing an OBGYN residency, or if you have 5 children in the house, or you are studying, that doesn't mean His obligations is going to be less. Obligations is number one. That's where priority. So I want you to get these two together. Priority and efficiency. Priority is number one is Allah rulings. Obligations, meaning Ramadan I have to fast. It doesn't matter what I am doing, how busy I am. The 5 prayers, it doesn't matter what I am doing or how busy I am. So the priority means obligations. These are non-negotiable. I'm going to keep using some words that I use it in my life also. Non-negotiable. Not, you know, when you write, and some of you, probably most of you are professionals, when you come and you are negotiating a contract, right? And you're going to say, there is things non-negotiable, and there's things we'll talk about it. So number one, you're going to tell yourself, to bring the balance back, you're going to say, the obligations of Allah are non-negotiable. Meaning, my salah, and I'm not going to say on time, meaning when the adhan goes on, that's the best. But I'm going to say in the time. These are non-negotiable. Whatever I am doing in that time frame, I need to drop it and I go and pray my obligation. So priority. Priority is your obligation. Now comes in next. So memorizing the Quran. Again, I'm going to give you from my life. Is memorization of the Quran is an obligation? The answer is no. It's a virtue, absolutely. It's beautiful, yes. Is it easy? Not. Whoever says that, I will say you have not done it. So when do I do that? This will be less. This will be when either I decided I am going to be a mother and I'm going to stay home and I will have only one profession. That is motherhood. And when my children starts going to school, or these days when they are in their room doing their school time and work, that's when I go to the not obligation. So priority, when it is dinner time, and the food is on the table, and I need to, or children just came and they are hungry and I need to put them food, that's an obligation. You have to feed them. And I want you to focus on what I am saying. And gradually we will come, inshallah, to the balance. So I need to figure out in the moment I am living. For example, right now, I am in, and we are, all of us, in majlis ilm, in a gathering of learning. Is that something virtuous? Absolutely. Can I do it another time? For me, the answer is no. For you, most of you, best to be in that moment, as long as being in this gathering does not mean you have neglected an obligation. So if my child now is crying, my obligation is to go and take care of my child. But, and then I come back, or I will say, you know what, I will get whatever I can get, and then I will look at it later on. But when there is, now coming to the two non-obligation, and this is very important aspect, and I want every woman to look at this. You come to two non-obligation, because once you have an obligation, the obligation is going to come. Now you're going to come to non-obligation. So you're going to tell me, give me an example. I'll say, fine. What is non-obligation? Non-obligation, right? Dinner is done, and I need to clean the kitchen. Versus, I need to go and do my nafil maghrib. Nafil. Non-obligation. Voluntary. So, and I bring maghrib because that's usually very tough. Short time, and it comes in the time where it is, not these days now for us, for example, but in a month or two, maghrib comes up, let's say around 6. And 6 is the dinner time. So here I am. If the food is already there and they are eating, and the adhan went on obligation, what the Rasul ﷺ told me, finish your food. Tell your children, let's finish the food quickly and let's go and pray maghrib. Balance. Look at in every situation where you are, in every minute where you are, what is the obligation for Allah, not for me and my family and my work? What is the obligation for Allah? That comes number one. Number two, when you have two non-obligations, for example, let's take work. So let's take my office. And I see patients. And some of you are physicians, some of you are teachers, some of you in any profession outside the house. And dhuhr time comes in. Where is the balance? I'm in the middle of seeing a patient and the phone goes on, Allahu Akbar. Should I leave the patient and go and make my salah? No, because I'm in the middle of it. That patient has a right upon me. Finished, and that's why, walillah alhamd, one of the wisdoms of having the salah in a period of time is not only 1 minute or 5 minutes, 2 or 3 hours, that gives you the freedom and the flexibility to do it. So in every minute, in every time, what is your obligation to Allah, number one? Where is our problem and where do we lose the balance? Number one, and I'm connecting this with the last one I said, and I said the word efficiency. And I learned this from one of my earliest teachers. And I cannot tell you how much this helped. And he used to say, and he was a male teacher, and he used to say, if anything in your life, his background is physics. So he gave the example from physics. And he and I had the same question with everybody. But my question, I remember very well, was that I feel my work is taking me away from Allah. I remember this was a repeated question. And I remember well in that frame what he said. Anything that normally takes 5 joules, I'm just giving you a number. I honestly don't recall the number. 5 joules of energy. should be done within with five joules of energy, and you do it in 10 or 12, you're wasting your time, you're not efficient, you will be overwhelmed, and the balance will be imbalanced. Meaning, I am a woman, I am a professional, I am a mother, I am a daughter, I am a wife, I am a abida, I am Allah's servant, and there's only 24 hours in the day. So making a salad, and you may laugh, but we have to speak absolutely very practical. This is reality. My children love salad. My children love pasta. And they love my pasta. I want to cook because somebody else says, go and order. But they said, Mom, we want your pasta. Where is the balance? Number one, cooking the pasta. Pasta, rice, biryani, any food, burger. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, Ya Allah, I am doing this to please you because I am pleasing my children and I am making them happy. And every time I make someone happy is an act of worship. I want to see it in my book. You changed the usual act of mundane daily activity. You just changed it by your niyyah, by your intention, to an act of worship. That's number one. Now the balance starts going to be, so you don't feel guilty. I'm not spending time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not giving time for myself. Two, be efficient. Learn to be very efficient. If normally the recipe say 10 minutes cook, then you're going to make it 10 minutes and you're not going to make it 25 and 30. Be efficient. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this is something we really, all women, have to be so grateful to Allah that we have the things that helps us. Don't wash the dishes if you have a dishwasher. Put it in the dishwasher. It saves you time, but more importantly, it saves energy and water. Balance. Be efficient. Time for yourself, extremely important. Extremely important. If you do not, I say this to myself, if I do not resuscitate myself, if I do not inject energy, spiritual and physical, to myself, then I cannot do it because I'm a human being. And that's why you see some woman gets anxiety, gets overwhelmed, because it's overwhelming. You need, and this is very difficult for the woman, to say no to certain things. It's so difficult. And I'm speaking again as a woman. But you need to ask Allah to make it easy. You need to have a non-negotiable time for yourself, not on the expense of the obligation. Again, write the obligations. The obligations to Allah, the obligation to your family, the obligation to the job. You signed a contract of 40 hours, it's a 40 hours. That's an obligation. But don't forget yourself in between. Whether it is I go out for a walk, 5-10 minutes, whether I go for exercise, whether I watch something halal, pleasing to Allah, and this is my downtime, downtime, that's everybody is different. But that's how the balance. And I want you to live with this verse. Always, always, anything we are learning, we go back, as I always say it to myself, go back to the source. What did he tell me? Al-Adl, the just. Al-Hakim, the wise. Al-Qawi, the strong. Al-Ra'uf, the loving. What did he tell me? And what did he tell us, all of us? End of Surah Al-Baqarah, the end of the chapter of the cow, which we all know or familiar. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul except what she or he can take. Allah will not burden a soul, she or he, unless she or he can take. I want you to memorize this meaning. When you are a mother, that means Allah, Al-Alim, the knowledgeable, knows by his limitless knowledge that you can be a mother. And when he puts you as a mother, and at the same time as a professional outside, he knows you can do it. And that's why you see, if you look around and just reflect, you see some women are not. Not everybody has the whole hats. So I have to remind myself, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul but what it can take. If he made me an OBGYN, that means I can do it. If he made me study, that means I can do it. And again, each one of you goes to your life. Having said that, back to reality. But sometimes I'm overwhelmed. That's when you turn to him. Him. Capital H. Ya Allah, I know I can do that. I just don't know how. This is a form of ibadah, of a worship. A lot of the women, let alone men, let alone Muslims, don't know it's an act of worship. They call it ibadatul isti'ana. Al-isti'ana. Asking, seeking help. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. You, we worship. Only you, we worship. Only you, we seek help. You turn to him. Ya Allah, make it easy. You wake up in the morning and you are overwhelmed. I have to be at the office at 8. I have this meeting. I have to juggle my children. I have to do the homework. What are they going to eat for dinner? I have to go and check on my mom. There's a meeting, a parent-teacher meeting. All this. In that middle of overwhelming thoughts and reality, don't forget. Write that down. Send yourself a reminder. Turn to him. Say, Ya Allah, make it easy. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Ya Allah, nothing easy but what you make it easy. Do you think for a moment he will not respond to you? You turn to him. You're saying to him, nobody can do it except you. Make it easy. Wallahi alladhi la ilahu. And I said, Wallahi, by him. You don't know how things will fall in place. I can share stories from my life about that. And I'm sure each one of you listening to me, what I am saying is resonating with her. Or with him, because men also. Turn to him. Ya Allah, make it easy. And one of the du'as we say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-'ajzi wal-kasal. Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from being lazy or incapable. Incapable. Sometimes say, Wallahi, I can't do this. And that's why you seek refuge in him. So put your priorities. Learn obligations from voluntary. Obligation in this moment and obligation in that moment. Voluntary acts in that moment. For example, it's Sunday. It's Sunday. And I am not working. So I have extra hours. Sunday, I'm going to make my salah. Dhuhr, I'm going to make it longer. I'm going to read more because I have time. But Monday, when I am in the office, my dhuhr will be my obligation. I don't have, if they give me my 1 hour lunch, the 1 hour lunch sometimes it's 12 to 1. The dhuhr is not yet even. Again, I'm speaking to everybody. Not everyone has the luxury of putting their schedule. Then in my office, I am going to be taking 5 minutes and I'm going to making my salah. Versus Saturday or Sunday, if you don't work Saturday, then you have the more. I hope I am making it easier for you all. Priorities, very important, is not what you want. And this is, I always remind myself, is not what I want and what I like and what I want to be, is what he wants from me. He, capital H, Allah. What He wants from me in that moment. And what pleases Him in that moment. I think, and please forgive me, and I, again, don't mean anyone, but I think the missing key in achieving balance in life is we are, our relationship with Allah is weak. And I'm not talking about relationship meaning immediately comes to your mind, I'm going to be all the time praying and fasting and doing nothing in life. No. The relationship mean anything I go through in life, good or not good, my immediate response, number one, is to Him. I pass a test, Alhamdulillah, You made it easy. I failed, Ya Allah, this is very hard on me. Please make it easy. Make me go through it. That's missing. When we get upset, first thing we do, we don't turn to Allah and says, Ya Allah, why this is happening to me? Please show me. How do I go through it? Normally, text, we call people, we vent. We vent, we call it. I say to everyone, vent to Allah. Vent to Him and see the result. So put your priorities, be efficient. Be efficient in the priorities according to the time. Be efficient. Number one and two and three in all this, don't forget Allah in your life. Give yourself time. Give yourself time. What Allah wants from you, what He wants in your book and mine, is in the moment that He put me in, did I please Him? Did I do something? That is an act of worship. That's the whole. At the end of the day, all my beautiful sisters, when you and me, we're going to be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not going to ask me, I want to say it correctly. Let's put it this way. He is going to ask me, I put you as a mother. How much of the motherhood you made it as an act of worship to please me? I made you a teacher. How much of that profession, being a teacher, you made it act of worship to please me? That's the question. That's the question. So if I spend 8 hours, I am teaching, which 8 or 10 or 8 hours in my office or sometimes longer, or eight hours in any profession, you change that profession to act of worship in that profession. I'm not talking about salah. I'm talking that profession. Your niyyah, your intention, you do it in the way pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the profession itself is not haram. That's the balance. You didn't change much. That's the balance. And you need to learn, I need to learn, to say to myself, no. Meaning, this no to myself. Remember, I said no to people, but also no to myself. Right? So today is Sunday. And I'm again giving an example. And I have all this week, for example, I have been so tired and overwhelmed, and I literally couldn't get more than 5 hours of sleep in a day. Sunday, when, for example, today is a beautiful day in St. Louis, maybe probably in most of you, when my husband took the children out for whatever, my priority after I made my dhuhr, or if it's not the time for salah, is to take a nap, because my body needs rest. Not to go and start chit-chatting and check my social media. Priority. So you say no, your nafs, you want to say, okay, let me just check this, let me just try this. No, you need to rest. So discipline, this deen is deen of discipline. This religion is a religion of discipline. Discipline with myself, me, number one. Discipline with the people around me, and before all, discipline with Allah, who He told me. That's why He put certain times for the salah. Certain times for the salah. And remember, and I will stop here because there was some questions. Maybe if one of the organizers can put the question on the screen so everybody can read it. Allah will never let you down. I want you also to memorize this statement. Will never, ever let you down. Never, ever Allah will let you down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're doing your best to please Him. You are turning to Him all the time. You're doing it the way you please Him. He will let you down? But it will take time. Think always of Sayyida Hajar. I always bring that example to myself. When she was alone, when there was nothing, and Allah allowed her to do the sa'i 7 times, then gave her Zamzam. Couldn't He give her Zamzam right away? Of course He can. But that's His wisdom. So remember this. If an American man want to marry a Muslim woman, what do they do? Do you mean American non-Muslim man? You gave me nationality and you gave me religion. So an American Muslim man marrying a Muslim woman, what is the deal? What's the issue? So maybe you have to write it again. Tell us in light of the Quran that women can go out for jobs or should stay at home. Very good question. Very good. In Surah Al-Ahzab, women should stay at home. Kindly explain it. Okay. Number one, the essence of this deen, this is fiqh ruling. Everything is halal. Everything is permissible unless it is said differently, stated differently. So all the food is halal. Allah did not say you can eat apple and you can eat orange and you can drink water. No. He only specified the haram. What we should not eat. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرُ. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Became unlawful to you. It's unlawful to you to eat the flesh of a dead animal that who died in by falling from a height and all the details. So in general, the ruling is halal permissibility. Al-aslu fi al-deen al-ibaha. That's how they teach you in fiqh. The essence of the in this deen is that everything is allowed. So let's come to the woman working. In general, it's halal. Because there's nothing says don't. And I think the sister had two completely separate questions. Because قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ stay at home. Can the woman work from home then? So let's separate these two. So let's come to the work. Work. Can the woman work outside the house? There's no yes and no. There is, I need more. Meaning, what kind of a job? What kind of a job? Priority. Is that job is a priority for her, for the family? And I always ask this question to patients. When I do surgery to the patients, and the patients usually, or after delivery, she's allowed to take time off, right? And I said 4 to 6 weeks. Can you afford it? We have to be realistic. And I'm talking about affording, it's not about buying extra stuff. I'm talking about bringing food on the table. This is a single mother, right? So number one, what kind of a job? If the job is haram, the answer is no right away. I'm assuming the job is halal. Is the job is halal, but inside that job, and by the way, this applies to men and women up till now. Inside that job, there is haram, and there's specific things for a woman that's haram, right? My dress code, my interaction, my way of saying things, doing things, all these. Three, is by me going and working, is it affecting negatively my children, negatively? That's something only the woman and her husband can decide. Because there isn't one size fit all. I have seen physicians very successful, mashallah, tabarakallah, their children. And I have seen women opted not to work. Physicians stayed home, took care of her children. That's her choice. She said, these to me, I want to give them everything I have. That's her choice. So woman working outside the house is not categorically halal or categorically haram. It depends. In Surah Al-Ahzab, the verse that Sister Aisha is talking about, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وأقمنا الصلاة وآتينا الزكاة وأطعنا الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم رجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا قرنا في بيوتكن. That's specifically ordered to the wives of الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. We cannot, when we study Quran, we cannot pick and choose and cut and paste. This is a major issue these days. قرنا في بيوتكن. This came to the wives of الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. The ayah starts, يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء إن اتقيتن. Wives of الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, you are not like any other woman. إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن في القول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض. When you have taqwa and don't speak in a suggestive way, that the man with a sick heart will have different interest in you. فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلنا قولا معروفا. And speak with excellence. وقرنا في بيوتكن. Now, having said that, again, don't forget the balance. That doesn't mean I am going to, well, this is for the wives of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, so I'm going to be spending most of my time outside, and then my house and my children, I'll get somebody else to take care of them. That's not the balance. We lost the balance. Here you are. Balance is absolutely, absolutely. Again, what is the obligation? Go back to the rules I put in the beginning. What is the obligation? What's most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you efficient? Can you do it? Is marriage an obligation? Can a man or a woman stay single? What does Islam say about not pursuing marriage? Very good question. Marriage can be obligation, can be highly recommended, can be halal, allowed, can be disliked, can be haram. The five rulings apply. And you're going to say, how is that? It's an obligation, absolutely, for a man or a woman. If she or he cannot keep themselves chaste, if the woman or the man cannot keep themselves chaste, then marriage is an obligation. Absolutely. Recommended is the general ruling. General ruling is يا معشر تزوجوا. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام said it to the young men, go and get married. And then he say, why? فإنه أحصن للفرج. It will keep your chastity protected. And if you couldn't, see now the allowance. If you couldn't, فليصم. If you cannot, then fast. But it's highly recommended. Another hadith, he said, it's my sunnah. It's my sunnah. وَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And whomsoever shy away from my sunnah, he's not from me. Halal, allowed. If neither harm nor benefit will be, it's your choice. Disliked. If the harm is going to be coming on the woman or the man from that marriage is more than the benefit, then this is disliked. Haram, if I am getting married or he is getting married, she or he, to harm someone as a revenge or to hurt someone, that marriage is haram. So you pursue, this is my advice. I say to all the young who ask me, I say, look at it, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pray istikhara, every proposal that comes to you, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. Ask the people who really cares about you and wait and take your decision. Don't get married because everybody else is getting married. That's not for Allah. Make your marriage act of worship, ibadah, for Allah to please Him. Marriage comes with a lot of good, a lot of khair, but also comes with a lot of responsibilities. So you have to, don't give up marriage because I can't do it. Don't do that. Let Allah decide for you. Inshallah, I answered. What does Islam say about birth control, abortion, and dangerous pregnancy? Okay, so three questions in one. What does Islam say about birth control in general? In general, again, if the birth control in all the forms except one only is not allowed, is the permanent birth contraception, we call it. So tubal ligation or vasectomy for the man are not allowed unless there is a reason. But everything else is allowed as long as it does not harm the woman. Does not harm the woman. So she can take birth control tablets, yes. She can take a patch, yes. She can take a ring. She can put IUD. All these are allowed as long as it does not harm. Can, what about abortion? In general, is not allowed unless it saves the life of the woman. Dangerous pregnancy, this is very loose term. What is dangerous? I will say what we say in medicine and in Islam. If the pregnancy endanger the woman's life by 3 Muslim physicians who attest to this, 3 Muslim physicians attest that if she gets pregnant, right, or even if they are non-Muslim but trustworthy, attest that if she gets pregnant, her life is going to be in danger. The possibility of life, death is way higher, then absolutely she can terminate. But in general, it is not in general. There is some exceptions also. It depends on the time, but I'm just giving you general because that's a long question. I'm a 30-year-old unmarried woman. I found myself grown, used to being alone, and have my work, classes, rhythm. It is hard to imagine being married with children. I feel resistance because I finally found balance. Interesting. Okay. May Allah reward you, sister. There is too many I in this question. And this is very nicely written because that's going to teach us something. Where is Allah in this question? Remember the balance we talked about. Where is Allah in this question? Meaning, I would have said, I am a 30-year-old unmarried woman. Allah made me grow up to become alone and allowed me to work. Look at the, this is the same question. Allowed me to work and take classes. I come because that's weakness. I found it hard to think I can be married and children. And I think it is my weakness that's making me resistant to this. But I don't know if this is pleasing to Allah. That's the question. And I'm sure everybody will know the answer now. What is the answer then? Don't make decision by what you like or you don't like, or you think it's difficult or you think it's not difficult. Let Allah decide for you. That's why 2 things in marriage, istikhara wa istishara. You ask for Allah guidance. You pray the salatul istikhara. Every marriage proposal come to you. As long as that proposal pleasing to Allah. The major things that please Allah is there. But you are worried. I may not give him his due right. I am used to me being alone. I'm afraid I'm not going to obey Allah by taking good care of my husband and my children. That's a genuine, because now you're worried you may disobey Allah. Then you say, who I am to judge? How do I know? And you beg him. Wallah ladhi allahu. And I say this, and I'm saying this again, you don't read this in books. You live these things in your sujood. When you are putting your forehead on the ground, you turn to Allah and says, I want to do what pleases you, not what pleases me. If me getting married, is that what pleases you? Make it easy. Show me and make it easy and help me. If me getting married is not something that will please you, that's not going to bring me closer to you, ya Allah, remove it. Let Allah choose. And you're going to tell me how. This is where I said in the beginning, the balance we lost is our relationship with Allah. Bring him back to your life, my dear beautiful sisters and whoever is listening to me. Bring him back, not only when we need him, all the time, all the time. When you say Alhamdulillah, it's not because it's a habit, because I really feel Alhamdulillah. When I wake up in the morning, I really feel I'm blessed that he gave me another day. The more you bring him in your life, in your daily small activities, major decisions like the sister question, he will show you. Don't decide based upon what you like or you don't like, what you are worried about or you're afraid, or what you like. Make a decision based upon what he wants from you. And how I will be able to know that my way of working and my efforts are in the right direction, like how I will be able to know that my work is turning into a worship? Very good question. May Allah reward you. Number one, what kind of a job you are doing? Is the job pleasing to Allah? Is the job pleasing to Allah? It's not a haram. Is the job is halal? Alhamdulillah, which most of the sisters, most of you work in a place, right? As long as there is no haram, you're not in a place where they are selling alcohol, pork, the haram things, without going into the details. That's number one. So the first check, you checked it. This is how you look. Look at your work and check these points. Number one, the job is halal. Inside the halal job, am I doing haram? That's you only can answer. Meaning, I'm disobeying, I'm working and I'm missing my salah. That's haram. You left the obligations. Well, I'm too uncomfortable praying and everybody will be looking at me. Well, I don't wear hijab, how am I going to pray at work? That's where you need to figure out a way. One of the advice I gave to one of my friends who doesn't wear hijab, and I said, you know what, put in your drawer. Put your sajada, put your hijab. Time of salah, close the door, tell them. Everybody will know. 5 minutes, pray. So inside the halal job, are you disobeying Allah? And that's a long discussion. And we have to keep looking, examining, asking Allah to show us. Your efforts, as long as it is serving the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without disobeying Allah, that is something pleasing to Allah. That's general, in general. The trash man, the mailman, the physician, the engineer, the lawyer, the CEO of the company, each one of these people are serving something to humanity. So that's your job. As long as there's no haram, the job is not haram, inside it you are not doing haram, and you are not, because of the job, you are leaving the obligations of Allah. For example, I took off my hijab because I feel very uncomfortable at work. You know what? That work became not pleasing to Allah because you left the obligation. Is it obligatory for a woman to give zakah if you work? There's no difference. Alhamdulillah, very good question. There's no difference between men and women in obligations. Zakah obligation doesn't say man only or woman only. Zakat obligation, zakah becomes obligation when two things are there. Only two things. You have what we call an-nisab, the minimum amount of the money that it is, that which is about equal to, if I'm remembering well, is 80 gram of gold. So it's about like $3,800. I have something in that. So if you have that amount of money, and nisab, and each country is different, of course, and then that amount of money, you have it for a whole 1 year. So in your bank account, let's assume it's $3,800. In your bank account, January 1st, you had $4,000. January 1st, the second year, so this is 2020, you had $4,000. In 2021, that's 1 year, you still have $4,000, that money is zakatable, absolutely. It's your money, you earned it, it's in your name, and it is has the minimum amount that for zakah, and 1 year have passed, then yes, you pay for it. I'm about to graduate from high school, mashallah, and the career path that I am interested in are mostly male dominant. Can you give some advice for women working in male dominant fields? Can you elaborate more? What do you mean by male dominant? Can you, if that's something you can do? Are Muslim women allowed to serve in the military? What do you do in the military? Go back to the origin. It's very easy. Go back to, did the woman went out with the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam for fighting? The answer is yes. Did they all fight? No. Some of them did, yes. Ummu Amara, the famous woman who actually fought and to protect the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam in Uhud. But that's to protect the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Did they went with the army, like Sayyidina Aisha, to take care of the wounded? Yes. So in the military, there's no yes and no. It depends what do you do in the military. And if you are talking about here these days, in the military these days here, my advice will be no. Unless you are a military, for example, but in general, I will not recommend it. Because it is challenging to the woman, to the Muslim woman. It's challenging, I will say. And I didn't say it's haram. How can we develop consistency in worshiping Allah and to turn intentions into regular, consistent actions? Very good question. Very good question. Please read it again, sisters, all of you. How can we develop consistency in worshiping Allah and turn intentions into regular, consistent actions? Meaning, what I just shared with you, some of you may have never heard it or found it very new. How can I make this to become a habit? Basically, how can I make habit, my salah becomes a habit, not habit meaning I don't feel it, but habit meaning it's absolutely part of my day. I do not struggle anymore. And how do I make, when I'm cooking, this is for you, Ya Allah. When I am inviting friends into my house, that's for you, Ya Allah, becomes an intention. Simple. This, you can apply the non-Islamic concept in here, which is Islamic concept. Anything you do consistently for 40 days becomes a habit. You will forget, but you will remember. You will forget, you will remember, till it becomes a habit. Till it becomes, keep doing it. Number one, keep doing it, even if you forget. Keep doing it, number one. Number two, use the modern technology to remind you. For example, for the salah, you have, alhamdulillah, all of us have it, in the phones, adhan. The adhan will remind you that there is something called salah. And then the more you, number one, you are remembered. Number two, ask Allah to make it easy. Ya Allah, let me get up for salah, please. Again, ibadatul isti'ana. And keep reminding yourself of the intention. Take one action in a time. For example, you're cooking, right? And these days we all look for recipes. Write down on your fridge or on the stove, intention. It will remind you. And you do it for 40 days, it becomes a habit. So, and it's not easy, but Allah, Allahumma la sahla, illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Ya Allah, nothing is easy, but what you make it easy. And then it becomes easy. It becomes easy. يعني, if I was seeing the beautiful sister, I would have asked her, what is something in your life? And think of this. What's something in your life that is now becomes a habit? It became a habit. How did that happen? Look at it and apply it. I think we have two more minutes. Am I right? Okay. Careers like civil engineering, mechanical engineering, architecture. I feel like I have potential to succeed in these careers, but I'm worried how I would be viewed in the kind of environment. Why do you think architect is a male dominant? I would love to have an architect woman. Every act you do, every profession you do, ask yourself, does woman need that profession? Meaning, will a woman need an architect? Will a woman will need a civil engineer? The answer is yes. So why do I have this woman go and ask a man for architect? Why not ask a woman? Architecture is halal. Civil engineering is halal. Any kind of electric engineering is halal. It is more men in that field for many reasons. A lot of the women don't like it, basically. Don't feel, for example, where I grew up, architect was mainly men, women actually. The most famous architect in the world is actually a woman, Zaha Hadid. She passed away like 2 or 3 years ago. She's actually from my home country. She's from Iraq. So look, if you think it is for you, it's going to be challenging. Look for something else that please Allah and it's easy for you. But not necessarily that is haram. So there isn't something that absolutely haram for the woman except what is haram that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. Some are more for example, in medicine. Of course, OBGYN is more pleasing to Allah because you're making the woman not go to men. Right? Orthopedic surgery is not haram, but it needs a lot of force. And that's why you see mostly men in that. So look at it and you balance it. I think it's 4 o'clock exactly.
I really appreciate Dr. Haifa for your amazing insights into, and hopefully we will all get to learn to prioritize what is important to all of us, and that is the worship of Allah and making sure that our every act is part of worship, throughout our day. On the behalf of the Muslim Omaha community, we would like to thank Dr. Haifa Yunus and the attendees today. It was an honor to host Dr. Haifa, and we sincerely thank her for the knowledge and wisdom she has bestowed upon the Omaha community and everybody else. In the past 2 weeks. Yes.
Can I just, because there's two questions, I take it? Yeah, because I really, this is, it's very much related to the woman. It's about hijab and workplace. And I really want to, and so the questions, one says, must I wear hijab? Don't go the question. Must I wear hijab other than prayer in the masjid? Straightforward answer. No if and but. Absolutely, yes, it's an obligation. Absolutely, yes, it's an obligation. I highly recommend all of you. We did 3 weeks ago. Follow us on our YouTube, Jannah Institute YouTube. And we have every Tuesday night program, 7 to 8. 2 weeks ago, I did one myself with another beautiful young sheikha, and we discussed it. Absolutely, it's an obligation. Absolutely. Not about salah, it's an obligation. So there was a question about it before. If I can, it's related to it, and if I... Here we are. Where is it? Okay, I think it's about she. I think she's a nurse, and she works in a psychiatry ward. And she was worried if she wears. Yeah, exactly. Here we go. Assalamu alaikum. I'm learning about Islam in my career. It is unsafe to wear a hijab. Often psychiatric patients attack nurses and staff. Will it be acceptable to just wear a hijab only during prayer? The answer is no. No. I would love to say yes, my beautiful Rebecca. So what is the solution? What is the solution? And this is why I wanted to answer this, because this is very common, applicable to a lot of women. This is the only job you can do. You cannot be a nurse anywhere else except in that psychiatric ward where your life will be in danger. Number two, is the life in danger? Is probability, possibility, or it's for sure? These are all fiqhi terms. Because if the answer yes and yes, then the answer will be you don't wear it when you are with the patients. Outside the patients, you wear it. Can I have another job? Did I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, I want to please you. I want to please you. I really need the job, you know. Can you please protect me in that job? What do you think Allah will do? So, that's why I wanted to choose this question. And I will say this to all my sisters, and I say this to myself before anyone else. Don't compromise your deen for dunya. Don't compromise your religion for this life. If you always, always put your religion number one, pleasing Allah is number one, wallahi, wallahi, Allah will give you the impossible, the impossible. And I'm going to share this. It's a real story. This is when I was in London, and I was going to take the test of the highest degree of OBGYN. This is before me coming to the United States. And we had a mock exam the night before, right? And the person who was testing us, when we were a group of physicians, he looked at me in this words, and he said, "You should pass. There should be no reason for you to not pass. If you didn't pass, There is only one reason. And you can imagine what he said. Of course, I was wearing my hijab. And guess what happened next day when I went for the test? From these five people, we were six or five. There's only two passed. I was one of them. That's why I'm telling you. Don't let shaitan put this in you. And I always say this to all my beautiful sisters who, when you go for interview and people tell you, take off your hijab, they will never give you the job. I say to them and to yourself before, Allah is a Razzaq. Allah is the one who gives the job, not people. Hold on to the rope of Allah. We also did a program Tuesday, 3 or 4 weeks ago, about the rope of Allah. We need to hold on it, my beautiful sisters, these days. There's so much challenges. We are weak. I need to hold to something strong to keep me strong. So please look at our YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, all the social media. And also go and visit our website, jannahinstitute.com. If you can put it Nuwaira for everybody. And there is always we have free things. We have things, courses that you take it 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week. You tell me about balance. 1 hour a week. And this is only for women. And that's what in the introduction, we bring the Islamic knowledge to my daily life, to my home. And there's two new ones we are starting next month, inshallah. Registration is open. One is about the woman, the pearls around the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. What was so special? That why did they were able to do it? I cannot do it. How I learned from them to me. And the second one is on a Sunday. Both of them are 8 to 9 a.m. So people are still sleeping. You get up for yourself. And the second course that we are offering is sins. What does disobedience to Allah have, will do to me? What effect it has on me and my society? And also we have something for the youth. See our website and would love to have you all. Jazakumullah khair. I would love to do more, but I think we need to stop Nuwairiya, right? So beautiful questions. One thing, anybody have a question, you can reach out to me through the website or through Dr. Haifa at jannahinstitute.org. We also have a group of questions and answers. Reach out to admin@jannahinstitute.org or outreach@jannahinstitute.org. Basically, best is outreach because she takes care of the questions and answers. outreach@jannahinstitute.org. Send your questions. Every Friday, I do questions and answers with the sisters. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for your extra time. Dr. Haifa, we really appreciate all the knowledge that you have given us. And on the behalf of a Muslim community of Omaha, we really appreciate you giving your two weekends to us. Once again, please do not forget to visit jannahinstitute.org.
.com is the website.
This is the website.
Questions and answers.
Okay, jannahinstitute.com is the website. If you guys want to join Dr. Haifa's other classes, other retreats, please visit them. I would like to finally thank the Sisters Committee of AMI and Omaha Muslim Women Committee for organizing this event. And hopefully we will look forward to many more to come in the future, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Jazakumullah khair.